My name is Stephen Leeds, and I am perfectly sane. My hallucinations, however, are all quite mad. The gunshots coming from JC's room popped like firecrackers. Grumbling to myself, I grabbed the earmuffs hanging outside his door, I'd learned to keep them there, and pushed my way in. JC wore his own earmuffs, his handgun raised in two hands, sighting at a picture of Osama bin Laden on the wall. Beethoven was playing, very loudly.
"I was trying to have a conversation," I yelled.
JC didn't hear me. He emptied a clip into bin Laden's face, punching an assortment of holes through the wall in the process. I didn't dare get close. He might accidentally shoot me if I surprised him. I didn't know what would happen if one of my hallucinations shot me. How would my mind interpret that? Undoubtedly, there were a dozen psychologists who'd want to write a paper on it. I wasn't inclined to give them the opportunity.
JC!
I screamed as he stopped to reload. He glanced toward me, then grinned, taking off his earmuffs. Any grin from JC looks half like a scowl, but I'd long ago learned to stop being intimidated by him.
"Eh, skinny," he said, holding up the handgun. "Care to fire off a clip or two? You could use the practice."
I took the gun from him.
"We had a shooting range installed in the mansion for a purpose, JC. Use it."
"Terrorists don't usually find me in a shooting range." "Well, it did happen at once. Pure coincidence."
I sighed, taking the remote from the end table, then turning down the music. JC reached out, pointing the tip of the gun up in the air, then moving my finger off the trigger.
"Safety first, kid." "It's an imaginary gun anyway," I said, handing it back to him.
"Yeah, sure." JC doesn't believe that he's a hallucination, which is unusual. Most of them accept it, to one extent or another. Not JC. Big without being bulky, square-faced but not distinctive, he had the eyes of a killer. Or so he claimed. Perhaps he kept them in his pocket. He slapped a new clip into the gun, then eyed the picture of bin Laden.
"Don't," I warned.
"But he's dead anyway. They got him ages ago."
"That's a story we told the public, skinny."
JC holstered his gun.
"I'd explain, but you don't have clearance."
"Stephen?"
A voice came from the doorway. I turned. Tobias is another hallucination, or aspect, as I sometimes call them. Lanky and ebony-skinned, he had dark freckles on his age-wrinkled cheeks. He kept his graying hair very short and wore a loose, informal business suit with no necktie.
"I was merely wondering," Tobias said, "how long you intend to keep that poor man waiting?"
"Until he leaves," I said, joining Tobias in the hallway. The two of us began walking away from JC's room.
"He was very polite, Stephen," Tobias said.
Behind us, JC started shooting again. I groaned.
"I'll go speak to JC," Tobias said in a soothing voice. "He's just trying to keep up his skills. He wants to be of use to you."
"Fine, whatever." I left Tobias and rounded a corner in the lush mansion. I had 47 rooms. They were nearly all filled. At the end of the hallway, I entered a small room decorated with a Persian rug and wood panels. I threw myself down on the black leather couch in the center. Ivy sat at her chair beside the couch.
"You intend to continue through that?" she asked over the sound of the gunshots.
"Tobias is going to speak to him."
"I see,"
Ivy said, making a notation on her notepad. She wore a dark business suit with slacks and a jacket. Her blonde hair was up in a bun. She was in her early 40s and was one of the aspects I'd had the longest.
"How does it make you feel," she said, "that your projections are beginning to disobey you?"
"Most do obey me," I said defensively. "JC has never paid attention to what I tell him. That hasn't changed."
"You deny that it's getting worse?"
I didn't say anything. She made a notation.
You turned away another petitioner, didn't you?
Ivy asked.
They come to you for help.
I'm busy.
Doing what? Listening to gunshots?
Going more mad?
I'm not going more mad, I said.
I've stabilized. I'm practically normal. Even my non-hallucinatory psychiatrist acknowledges that.
Ivy said nothing. In the distance, the gunshots finally stopped, and I sighed in relief, raising my fingers to my temples.
The formal definition of insanity, I said, is actually quite fluid. Two people can have the exact same condition with the exact same severity, but one can be considered sane by the official standards while the other is considered insane. You cross the line into insanity when your mental state stops you from being able to function, from being able to have a normal life. By those standards, I'm not the least bit insane.
You call this a normal life? She asked.
It works well enough.
I glanced to the side. Ivy had covered up the wastebasket with a clipboard, as usual. Tobias entered a few moments later.
That petitioner is still there, Stephen.
What?
Ivy said, giving me a glare.
You're making the poor man wait. It's been 4 hours.
All right, fine. I leaped off the couch. I'll send him away.
I strode out of the room.